This podcast is sponsored by ValleyGivesBack.org. The best gift builds a better tomorrow. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we've brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding, TV sucking.
Hey everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indie Podcast. I'm Eugene Driscoll. You probably already heard this already because I think I'll record a little intro to this episode after the interview. But on the line with me is Mr. Jim Gilday, the chairman of the Derby School Board and the co-chair of the, the Temporary Regional School Study Committee of the City of Ansonia and Derby. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Gilday.
Hi, Gene. How are you? Nice to be with you.
I am good. I published a story last night on the document that was, or the documents that were received by the committee Monday night. And for anybody who doesn't know, this committee was formed just under 2 years ago to study whether it's advisable to regionalize Derby and Ansonia schools in some way. And on Monday, they got back this 173-page document. And I guess my first question, Jim, basically you're talking about possibly birthing a new school district complete with its own set of governance. It's a complicated subject. I think everybody that hears about it has their own particular individual question, all of which is probably answered in the report or addressed in the report. The report is extremely thorough. So my first question is, you're going to meet again December 9th, I believe. How is the committee now going to digest this report, and what happens to it from here?
So I think, as you mentioned, Gene, there's a tremendous amount of information in the report, and it certainly encompasses a number of different areas. What I would say is there are seven main sections that need to be broken out and deliberated on individually. And I think that's kind of how we have to take this. We have to carve it out section by section. So there's a section on regionalization. There's a section on academics and educational plan. There's a section on facilities, enrollment, finance, governance, and finally culture. So I think each one of those seven sections we have to break out. We have to deliberate on them. We have to find out any additional questions we may have. We may have to clarify missing details. We have to see where we'll come to consensus, where there may be areas for debate and discussion, and carve out each section. I think some sections, like culture, may move quicker than sections like finance or facilities. So I think that's really the next step.
And in terms of the deliberations that start, from what you had suggested perhaps breaking into a subcommittee, but then the board said, well, we're going to do it as a whole. With 10 people, 10-person committee, are you planning to meet twice a month? Or because there seemed to be almost a, I don't know if there's a, the deadline was extended or is supposed to be extended. How are you in terms of time to for a 10-person committee to break up each of these subsections of the document?
So to your point, we will be able to get an extension. The Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments is moving forward to contact our legislative bodies to grant us such an extension. 2 years goes by quick. We were appointed in February and March of 2018, and so we had our first meeting in June. So we are right up against that two-year deadline. So whereas I don't feel like, oh my God, we really have to rush and cut corners. Having said that, there is some sense of urgency. So for me, I do think we're certainly going to have to meet more frequently than once a month. I think, you know, there's seven sections, and to break that out, let's just say, you know, over the next 3 to 5 months, I think we're going to have to meet twice a month for certain.
And I guess part of the strategy behind that philosophy is that you want to get some momentum going in terms of reviewing this report to get sort of everybody into it. Because you guys have a lot of homework to do.
Again, there's seven sections, and there's big, and they talk, quite frankly, a lot about whether it be savings, and that's what everyone focused on, you know, certainly the savings, but, you know, there's also work, there's also renovations, there's also a program of studies that you have to work out. What's the central office is going to look like? Are you going to have a director of curriculum? Are you going to have assistant superintendent? I mean, there's just so much there that you really have to flesh out for certain.
And from my sort of interpretation of the report, it seems there's technically five options on the table, one being just leaving things as is, and then you could possibly regionalize pre-K through 12 with four elementary schools. That's the second option. Three, regionalize pre-K through 12 with three elementary schools, which would close Irving possibly. Leave the districts, and then there's the shared services part, which aren't quite as permanent and don't require voter approval. And one of those is leave the district separate, explore some shared services options, things that have been studied in the past to some extent. And then the final option is leave the district separate, initiate some shared services, and merge the central office in effect. Now, is the idea to possibly recommend, let's say you pick number two, just hypothetically, regionalized pre-K through 12 with four elementary schools. Could you do part of that option? Or, I mean, maybe you just wanted to close one school. Is everything on the table here? Or would these be sort of put to voters possibly as is in their complete form?
I do think that everything is on the table for certain. What the consultant has given the temporary committee is a roadmap. And a recommendation. Having said that, it is only that. It is a recommendation. So I do think that, you know, there's a lot of discussions to be had, and certainly I go into it as you know, everything's open, and through the discussion and deliberation we'll come out on what the best scenario is.
And then receiving that report, looking it over as you have the last few days, is there anything at this point that sort of jumped out at you as most surprising? Was there anything at this point you're like, I didn't expect that outcome or suggestion to be in there, and there it is?
There's two things I would generally say surprised me the most. One of them was the committee did a really nice job capturing the cost savings associated with regionalization. And I know that they talked big picture potential renovation costs. But the one thing I definitely think that the report is missing is the committee did a really nice job of giving you the 10-year look at the operations cost and what the projected savings will look like. But there wasn't the same work on the city side of what the cost would be to regionalize. And what I mean by that is Ansonia's buildings have a value of $64.3 million. Derby's schools have a value of $36.3 million. Well, when you combine these schools, Derby has to, in essence, there's a capital cost. We don't just get Ansonia's $64 million worth of schools for free, right? Mm-hmm. There's a buy-in cost. Conversely, Ansonia has to purchase and buy in Derby's $36 million cost. So now you have that cost. And then in pretty much whatever scenario you pick, you're going to have to add on to, let's say, Derby Middle School and Code Comply. You would add on to Derby High, Ansonia High School, and then you have to do code compliance. You would add on to Bradley School, you'd have to do code compliance. Those renovations have work. So the capital buy-in and the renovation and code compliance work that you have to do has costs. And this report really needs to have the same, you know, year-by-year savings. It has to have the year-by-year cost, because it's going to take years to pay off, you know, a $64 million capital cost for Ansonia's buildings. It's going to take years to pay off the renovations and the code compliance work. So all of the focus certainly has been on the savings, and it's just important that we flesh out the details. So not having that was a little surprising. Another thing that surprised me as well, and it makes sense, but you know, when they looked at the overall savings, in every scenario, Derby saves significantly more because the per pupil savings. And so when you looked at the shared services, for instance, it's almost as if Ansonia, by doing nothing, would almost save this the same amount of money in the shared services scenario than they would in many of the regionalization scenarios. So that kind of that piece surprised me as well, the difference that the two towns would save.
Hmm. And then in terms of the this was asked at the meeting, but in terms of Derby's new athletic facilities that just went online in the last few months, Payton Park, the field house, and the multi-purpose field, whose name escapes me at the Ludaflippo. Sorry, does the report make mention of how those would be used and how that comes into play?
No, and so I would say that was another thing I thought, and I did think the report was thorough. I did think there were some missing pieces. That was another missing piece, for instance, to me. There's two or three, I thought, different missing pieces. Another missing piece was the athletic component of it. So the report talks about the fact how you can add in additional programs. Now you could potentially have a JV football program, which Derby doesn't have, or a freshman program, or, you know, the girls could have, you know, the Derby students can participate in perhaps a volleyball and how you may bolster your JVs, but there's no cost associated with that. There's no cost for the additional transportation. There's no coaching impact. There's no cost for the capital buy-in for the fields, right? Because the fields are owned by the cities, and so I think that was also a missing piece for certain.
And how about in terms of any reaction that you've heard from your constituents? Like, how are people reacting to this? And then I guess the second part of that question is, how do you get people to read that document? Because I think it's, you know, there's only so much the Valley Indy will be able to decipher for people. And the same thing with the Post. It's like the voters really have to do their homework here if they want to get informed. How do you get people to read that document? Well, I blabbed on, I forgot the first part of my question. Oh, what are people saying to you?
What are people saying? You know, I think that what generally surprises me a little bit, and maybe it's because we're still early in the process, I don't really hear a lot from my constituents. I mean, I think the comment page, your Facebook website is probably the most interaction I've seen. You know, I think most people have a let's wait and see attitude. The folks that I talk to, you know, they're interested in knowing what the cost savings are. They're interested in knowing what the costs would be. But the folks I talk to are more interested in the things we haven't talked about yet, and that is program content. What are the programs going to be like? Where would my child go to school? I think once you start to see this committee flesh out which proposal will get picked, I think you'll start to see a greater reaction. I also think that there will be public hearings if it goes to referendum, and I think you'll see that's really where you'll probably see activity kick in. But it's been pretty quiet, Gene, truthfully, the constituents I talked to.
And so, and I guess another thing to point out is that as this moves forward and as the committee digests this thing, it'll be, I mean, if the committee decides to recommend an option be put out to voters, that may not happen. We don't know at this point, but it'll be, by that point, the discussion will be more narrow and focused on one of the options, which will be able to be fleshed out even more for the people. Is that sort of a right take on this?
I do think, yes, to your point, I think as the committee starts to deliberate and one option may rise to the top, so to speak, I do think that would probably start to generate greater interest. I will say probably if I heard anything, you know, bubbling below the surface, I do think one of the sentiments I hear, which will be interesting because it's a scenario that saves the most money, is folks kind of want to retain the neighborhood school concept at the younger grades. That's probably what I hear the most. I think if we that probably would attract some attention if we started to infringe upon that. I think we might hear a little bit, but again, that's just my opinion. Why speak to?
It's interesting because as I was reading the report last night and writing up the story, as I looked at what I had sort of put as number three, option three, regionalized pre-K through 12 with three elementary schools, that option would close Derby High School, close Ansonia Middle School, which are the two aging buildings in both communities, and close the Irving School. And it seemed like, from the description I read, you'd expand Bradley to sort of observe or absorb some of the Irving kids. That's what it wasn't that clear, but that was my take on it, which is what the community sort of rejected a few years ago at the end of the beginning of Dr. Conway's term as superintendent. So that'll be interesting there, because that was regionalization within the city that sort of went nowhere. What about the? I was sort of. Wait. No, actually, I have a question. Actually, go ahead. And then I'll.
I was going to say, to your point, though, you're right. I do think that probably option would in both towns. You know, if you have a kindergarten student or first grade student or second grade student, you know, you may have some concern if we're moving you away from your neighborhood school. And again, that is the option that saves the most money. But again, what's interesting to me is the wide difference between what it saves Derby and what it saves Ansonia. That is, like I said earlier in the interview, that was one of the things that surprises me the most.
This podcast is sponsored by ValleyGivesBack.org. The best gift builds a better tomorrow. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. And then I read a story in the Post, the Connecticut Post, last night, and I assume it made it to print today, I'm not sure. But subscribe to the Connecticut Post online, everybody. Stop stealing their articles and put it on my Facebook page. Come on! Help a fellow journalism place out. But Mike Mako had a quote from Mayor Cassetti saying, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the direct quote, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically he was saying, like, see, I told you so, it's a slam dunk. This is a no-brainer. Let's go. He was already signed on board. What was your reaction to that comment, if I may?
I don't think he's informed enough to be making comments like that, but that's my opinion. So certainly he is entitled to his opinion, but I don't, you know, to my knowledge, he hasn't been to any meetings. He hasn't seen the report. And truthfully, I definitely think there's some discussions to be had. I do think there's savings, for instance, associated with that, and that's undeniable. But again, I mean, with those savings comes the cost to renovate, comes the cost to buy in the capital, you know, the capital cost. So again, I just think the word no-brainer is probably not accurate. But again, that's my opinion, and he's entitled to his opinion, and clearly, he's the pulse on his community over there, so, it may be different for his perspective than mine.
And, just from reading the report as just a fellow human being, that, I mean, one of the things that was sort of frustrating, at least from a reporter's perspective, is that, you know, you want to get this report, and you want it to have a clear, easy answer, and I think the last thing, and maybe this is opinion, but I don't know. I read the thing. There are no easy answers to regionalization. It's not as simple as one might hope. It's a complicated subject. Or am I wrong?
I think it's a very complicated subject. I think it's a complicated subject when you factor in governance. How you're going to merge two communities, how you're going to do the capital cost buy-in, what age level you're going to do. I mean, truthfully, as you talk about no-brainer, I mean, the shared services component, which showed about a $1.1 million savings, Ansonia has 64% of the students. So in theory, Ansonia and the shared services would save about 64% of that money. So they would save $650,000 if you believe the numbers that were presented the other day. And that's without doing any of the work. That's just sharing services. So, again, there's a lot of things to balance. And again, I don't think there are no easy answers. And I think there'll be some tough discussions to have about neighborhood schools, governance, you know, giving up seating authority, right? I mean, So in a regionalized school system, there's, you know, if Ansonia and or Derby are seating some level of local authority, and that has a cost. Again, I think there's a lot of deliberating to be done. If it was that easy, we could just close book today and recommend a referendum and not do any of the work. But clearly, the 10 people who've been participating on both sides of the aisle will certainly say that there's a lot of work ahead of us, and I don't think any of the 10 people, regardless of what town you live in, would say that we are this is a no-brainer to regionalize. I think there's a lot of discussions to be had.
And to your point, nobody said that Monday night. It wasn't. Everybody had pretty probing questions, and they had it seemed like additional questions since the document is fresh and new. So, do you have any timeline as to when the committee might complete their work, or at least make a recommendation one way or the other?
The consultants had put in there like an April time frame, and I'm just trying to be realistic. You know, there's seven sections. You have December 9th is it will set aside how we're going to do it. So in my mind, I really think we'd hit the ground running in January. So I do think if you break that report up by section, in theory, you could. I mean, I think having it done by April might be a little aggressive. I think somewhere in April to June is probably more accurate. But that's just me, you know, one guy who looked at the report and looked at how much stuff is here and realizes that, the finance discussions and the facility discussions, those could take a few meetings, right? I still think you're, again, 3 to 5, 4 to 6 months away, in my opinion.
All right, Mr. Gilday, is there anything else you wanted to add that I didn't ask you?
No. I mean, listen, you ask great questions for certain, a lot of work to be done over the next 4 to 6 months. So one thing I would encourage people to do is to get involved. I mean, and to share your thoughts. We have a public portion twice at each meeting. Ask questions, raise your concerns. We're going to be meeting over the many months, so I encourage people to come up.
All right, sir. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thanks, Gene. Always a pleasure.
Hundreds of years we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives.